Aloha! Welcome to New Hope Christian Fellowship's podcast featuring Pastor Wayne Cordero. Here you'll find inspiring motivation for everyday life in this exciting segment from the series, Heroes of Legendary Faith.
Would you take out your notes with me as we continue in our series? We want to get back to something that's so important. And you know, I guess I'm kind of in a season where I want to edit a few things and kind of get some of the overgrowth and go back to what's most important as we as a church, as a congregation continues to grow and add. What's that which is most important? And you know, a lot of times you don't come to grips with that unless there is like a divine encounter. You know, there's like maybe a dozen times in life where you have some kind of divine intervention when you realize, oh, all the things I was worried about aren't that important. For example, you contract cancer and you're laying there in the hospital. You're on a gurney going into surgery on a 50-50 chance. And then you realize all the stuff that used to bother you, you don't care anymore. It comes down to a couple of things that are incredibly important. And one is what we want to talk about. And that's your relationship that's genuine, vibrant, and real with Jesus Christ. You see, sometimes the Lord will take you through these times. And again, it's only about 10 or so times in your life where this will happen, where you're cruising at 32,000 feet, as it were, and here's the ground, and your life or your plane starts to take a dip. And then when you're going down, you start to realize there's only a couple of things that matters anymore. And when the nose of your plane is just barely touching, kissing that grass and that dirt, the Lord kind of pulls you back up. Now, you'll notice when you're about to die, your heart is like super open. Isn't that right? Very open to whatever God has to say. And you're going down. And then what he does is he pulls it up. And then when you're cruising back at 32,000 feet again, he says, don't forget the lessons that you learned there. Because that's the only time your heart's going to be that open. But those lessons apply to your whole life. And those are priorities. Those are the things that we want to talk about today in your relationship with Christ. And that's got to be so vibrant and so alive. That happened to me just a while ago when some of you know I paddle one-man canoes. And we usually go out outside of Hawaii Kai. And the wind is blowing towards Waikiki. And so we go out about a three-quarters of a mile or a mile out. And then we ride the wakes in the middle of the ocean coming back in. And it's some big wakes and waves out there. And but you're in the deep blue. And sometimes I like to go out there quite a ways because you'll see, you know, whales and you encounter dolphins and fish with Colgate smiles swimming around. But, you know, you just, that's no problem. Just swim. And I mean, they swim and you stay on your boat. But you keep right on going. Now, there was one day when the winds were howling, about 35, 40 miles an hour winds. And we get excited when that happens because it causes bigger wakes out there and you just find them and ride them in this one-man canoe. And so we were out there a ways and the wind was just howling and we took off. There's about six of us. And I dropped into one, must have been 8 feet or so deep, 10 feet deep. And you're cutting down this thing in the middle of the blue and I turned on it, and I turned too sharply, and a rogue wave kind of picked up my AMA, or the outrigger, and just flipped me over. Bang! I crashed out in the middle of the ocean, and you come up, you're looking around, you know, and you think, what is going on? My hat's off to the side, and the thing that, though, I was worried about most when I came up and I saw floating away were my Maui Jim glasses. My Maui Jim. Now I'm battling corn. Oh, because those things are like 100-some bucks, you know. Oh, wait, man. So I finally grabbed that. Now, usually you have a leash to your boat. Well, what I didn't know was the leash came off. But I get to get my Maui Jims. So I finally got my Maui Jims. Got my Maui Jims. And I had my paddle in my other hand. And then I looked up and my boat is floating into the ocean. And it's about 15, 20 yards away. And I thought, oh no, because you can't see. I mean, just all blue and just whoo, you're in the wake. So I mean, I start swimming. You ever try to swim with your hands clutched like this? I had my paddle in one, my Maui Jim sunglasses in the other. And I cannot get to it. And it's just tumbling away. And you're in trouble because that's it. And you're just miles out in the ocean. And so then I started to hyperventilate. Like, oh, because you're all alone. And I thought, man, if I don't settle down, I will drown in about 2 minutes. Because you just start going under when you're hyperventilating. So I just talked to myself, slow down. Because I had to figure, you got to tread water for an hour, at least an hour. Because then someone will see your boat and they'll send help to backtrack. So, you know, and I'm a fine swimmer, but when you hyperventilate and you go nuts and panic, it doesn't matter. You just start going down. So I had to talk to myself. And then after a while, trying to tread water with your fist clutch like this is really hard, you know. And so I thought, oh, man, I got to start getting rid of some stuff. Because if I don't, I'm going to die, you know. And so I thought, man, that's it, man. So the first thing I got rid of was my hat. I said, that's it. I thought, man, there goes my hat. I don't care, man. So I lost my hat. And then I thought, man, I'm still dying. I'm going under. So I had tobbies on, you know, reef walkers. So that was the second thing. I thought, I got to get rid of these things. So I took those off under the water so I could kick a little bit. So I'm kicking a little now. Oh, whew. And I thought, man, I'm still going under. I'm dying. I'm going to die in another 10 minutes. So I thought, finally, Maui Jims, I got to let go of my sunglasses. I thought, oh, you're just so expensive, though. And I thought, man, I got to hang on to these. You know, it cost me a lot of money. But I could see myself, like, dying. And this thing went through my mind. I'm laying in the casket, you know, with my Maui Jims on. And all my friends coming by going, oh, he looks good in his Maui Jims. You know, and I thought, what good is that? So I remember just throwing that thing away and starting to tread water. Then I was all right. And sure enough, because we come with, you know, we go with five or six of us, just within about 5-10 minutes, there was another boat coming. And so I yelled and waved my paddle so he could see it. And he also saw my boat over there. So he came and rescued me. And boy, by that time I was tired. But I thought, you know, we could have had, you know, you hang on to this and die. Oh, that was the dumbest thing. You got to prune down to what's most important. Reminds me of a guy, you know, as a Hawaiian guy, Portuguese guy, and Japanese guy. And they were at the funeral. And the Japanese guy said, the Hawaiian guy said, what do you want your friends to say about you when you're laying in the casket? The Japanese guy said, well, I'm laying in the casket. And when I'm dead, I want my friends to say, whoo, he was good person. He was a very good person. Oh, really? Hawaiian guy said, you know what I like for them to say about me? That I was one giving person. Yeah, I gave my lau lau, my fish, my poi, any kind. I was a giving person. What about you? They turned to the Portuguese guy. What about you? What you like your friends to say about you when you're in the casket? Portuguese guy said, I like my friends to come by and say, look, he's moving. That doesn't have anything to do with the sermon. But sometimes when you're just like, you're the nose of your plane is brushing the ground, you start to learn what's most important in life. And one of the most important things is just your relationship with Jesus. Am I okay with God? Am I okay with the Lord? And I say it this way, you know, sometimes we don't know that Jesus is all we need until Jesus is all we got. Well, what happens here in Hebrews 11 is there is a man named Enoch that walks with God, and their relationship is so vibrant, so fresh, so pure, so honest, that the Lord says, this is what it's all about. If you took away everything else, Enoch, this is it. In fact, let's read the top of our notes here, the scripture out of Genesis 5. Go. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God... Yeah, you know what God sees as priority and what pleases him more than anything else? Would you write in number one? A simple and genuine relationship is what pleases God the most. A simple, genuine, healthy relationship. No, not a formal religion. No, not the Christian strut. No, not the glazed over eyeballs that, you know, said, I'm a prophet. I can talk to you about your future. No, none of that. Just an honest, clean, refreshing relationship with Jesus. That pleases God more than anything. Let's read the scripture out of Hebrews 11 as Hebrews 11 talks about Enoch. Let's read it. Go. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. Suddenly he disappeared because God took him. But before he was taken up, he was approved as pleasing to God. Would you underline those last three words? He was approved as pleasing to God. You know what God was saying? He was walking with Enoch, and it wasn't just a physical walk. It was a spiritual relational walk that was just so good. You know what God said? Enoch, I love this. This is what it's all about. If you took away all of the rest of the accoutrements, all the religiosity, everything, this is what pleases me the most. And he said, Enoch, you know what we're going to do? I love this so much, we're just going to walk into eternity together like this. Because let's just do this forever. Let's just do this forever. And whoo, Enoch was not, for God took him just as he was. And you know what God was saying? That's what it's all. That's the most forever, the most eternal, the most priority relationship that pleases God the most. We see that again repeated in the New Testament in Matthew 3. When Jesus comes out of the water and the Lord breaks the heavens open. Now, only three times in the New Testament, the Father breaks the heavens and speaks. And this is one of them. And let's read what he says when the heavens are broken. Go. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Circle that, well pleased. And I looked at that and I said, God, if it is that important for you to break the heavens open and talk to humankind, and you say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Whew, that's great. But what are you well pleased about? I mean, what caused you to be so pleased that you break open the skies and speak? What is it? And then I thought, wait a minute, this is only Matthew 3. And I looked, I thought, Jesus hasn't done anything yet. He hasn't healed any lame people. He hasn't opened the eyes of any blind people. He hasn't written a magazine, a book, spoken at a conference, nothing. And God breaks the heavens and says, I am pleased. I thought, what has he done? I look back, Matthew 1, the genealogies. So-and-so begat, begat, and he begat, and he begat, and begat, begat, forgot to begat, forgot to begat, 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 forgot, begat, begat, forgotten, begotten, forgotten. And then I thought, wow. There's nothing there. And then I looked at chapter 2. He's born. Chapter 3, poof, I'm pleased. I thought, what has he done? Now it says, this is my beloved Son, so I know who's talking. It's the Father. And I said, Lord, the only thing that he's got going for him is the fact that he's related to you. And the Lord says, that's what pleased me then, and that's what pleases me still today. When my children have a genuine relationship with me, there's nothing that pleases me more than to break the skies open and let you know that that's it. Because you can get caught up in everything else. But you see, we can be a Christian but not have a good relationship with God. You can have a formal relationship. We've all seen that. And that's not what he's talking about. We've seen a marriage where a man and a woman are married, but they have no relationship. The only thing they have in common is they have the same address that they live in. Or you've seen parents that have kids, and they're the parents, they're the kids, but they have no relationship because of some unresolved issues. That's not what he's talking about, some formal thing. He's talking instead about a genuine, honest relationship that's vibrant and living. And when that happens, so much will come through, and the world will know. But it requires a genuine, unabashed relationship. Not just going to church. You see, I say this often. Even the mafia go to Mass every Sunday. But it's a relationship with Jesus that changes the world. Not some formal Christian stance. And when all of it's taken away, can I say Jesus and I are doing really good? There has to be a genuine relationship with Jesus. Then He'll funnel the kingdom through. He'll open the skies and let humanity know that that's it. You know why? Some time ago, I got off the plane and I was going to go up to my car, which was on the fourth level parking structure. And a dad with his little boy, about 3-4 years old, were also going, and I noticed him put his son in front of the little motion detector that opens the doors, you know. So he said, stand right there, go, one more step. And then I was just kind of waiting, you know, I thought, it's cool, watch this. And a little boy stepped in and, wow, good, come. Yeah, see that? Now push that button on the elevator. And the little boy pushed it, and we got in the elevator. And I'm just kind of a spectator watching this. And he says, okay, we're on fourth floor. Now, which one is four? Which one? Good, right there, push that. And I was on the same floor, too, so I just rode along, and then he pushed four. Good, good. And then they walked out, and I could see him handing his son his remote and for the car. And he said, okay, there's a car. Point it there. Now, okay, push that button. And you could hear it beep, beep, and the lights turn on, and the doors unlock. And little kid's all excited. He said, okay, get in. And little kid, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. And it just, this is cool. And I kind of laughed a little bit. And then I thought, you know what? The father didn't need his kid to do all of those things. He could have done it himself and probably could have done it faster and better. But I watched their love. Their just their relationship was so precious. And you got to hear this. Why did the father have the boy do that? You know why? Because the father took greater pleasure in fulfilling his will through his child than just doing it himself. And the same is true with you and me. When there is a healthy relationship with the Lord, God takes greater pleasure in doing his will through his children than apart from them. In fact, you can fill that in. It's in your bullet there. Would you write down, God takes more pleasure when his will is done through his children rather than in spite of them? Because he can do it on his own. God doesn't need us. I know it's going to come as a shock to many of you. But God doesn't need us. He can do what he wants to do and push all the buttons without us. Isn't that right? He can do it better than we could. But listen, he takes greater pleasure doing it through his children than around him. And that's why Enoch was someone pleasing to God. Jesus, someone pleasing. Because you see, that's the whole thing. God is saying it's going to require a genuine, healthy, vibrant, living, ongoing relationship with the Lord. But when that is there, not a religious thing. No, not theological thing. No. When it is a true, genuine thing, God will say, that's it, because now I can run the kingdom right through you, and I'll take greater pleasure in doing that than in anything else. That's it. Let's do that forever. You understand? And Enoch is put as an example of that which is most important. Now, one of the things you've got to know is this. Would you write number two? The enemy's target is to dilute our living relationship. He's going to dilute it. Now, he's not going to dilute anything else. He wants to dilute that. Because if you are still going to church, if you're still doing religious stuff, but you don't have a vibrant relationship with the Lord, you can still be religious, but he's not going to run the kingdom through you. He's not going to push buttons through you. He takes no pleasure because there's a broken relationship, unresolved sin or rejection or rebellion or whatever it might be. And when the Lord says, when that's cleaned up and we have a good relationship, I'll run the kingdom through you and take greater pleasure in that. That's why the devil wants to destroy that relationship. Well, you can still go to church, but keep a broken, shortcutted, cutting corners, veneer kind of relationship with God that's thin and shallow. Because then you can still go to church, but the kingdom won't come through you to the surrounding areas. Even God says you can still learn about God. You can just, the Pharisees, they memorized most of the Old Testament. They knew about God. So he's going to say, go, learn more. But you can have a great brain about God and know a lot about God. But would you write there in that bullet, knowing about God is no substitute for a genuine relationship. It's no substitute. Otherwise, he'll get us to live this incongruent life where Christians know all there is to know about submission, but we don't submit. We know all there is to know about honesty, but we're not honest. We know everything there is to know about forgiveness, but don't cross me. And what happens is we know more and more and more and more and more, but we don't do any of that. So we substitute knowledge for obedience, knowledge for relationship. And the Lord says, no, it'll be a real deception. In fact, let's read a scripture above, 2 Corinthians 11:3. Let's read that. Go. But I fear that somehow you will be led away from your pure and simple devotion to Christ, just as Eve was deceived by the serpent. Ah, you're kidding. She was led away from having a pure relationship with Jesus? Uh-huh. You mean if he can kind of fracture our relationship with God and kind of dull that, like Eve, we get more susceptible to temptation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, you see, if that relationship with the... if God does not fill you, you will find that the world starts to become better and better looking. And you start to get hungry for other things. You see, I remember when Anna, when we were first dating, I mean, every thought of my mind was, Anna, 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 you know. And in my wallet, I'd have 4 or 5 pictures of her. On my wall, I had pictures. And just everything, Anna, you know. And so some babe would walk by and I'd look at her, Anna. You know? Because she was the love of my life. My relationship with her was strong, and it was buoyant, it was blossoming, and it was wonderful. And everything, I wasn't hungry for that. But watch this. You destroy a relationship with that person, then everything else becomes really attractive. Isn't that right? But when the Lord is filling you, and your relationship with him is strong and vibrant, you don't have the susceptibility to the world and its offerings anymore. You'll be in the world, but it doesn't pull on you. Because I tell you, the world has this vortex to it, and it pulls you in. And if God's not filling you, you'll eat anything. I remember when our dog, we have a golden retriever, it was about 1 year old, 2 years old. I went down to Times Market, I think it was, and bought this beautiful steak bone. You know how they cut up steak and they have these nice bones. So I bought one of those and I had it at home. And I thought, oh, I'm going to give you a treat of your life. You're going to get one of these to chew on for like a week. You'll be able to gnaw on this thing. But at first I took her for a walk. So I walked her around the block and I was thinking, as soon as we get home, you're going to get this treat, Lucy. You're going to get this treat. Well, just then she lunges and she goes into the bushes. And when I pull her out, she's got a dead toad in her mouth. And I thought, oh, let that go. You got a great steak bone at home. Let it go. And she ate it. Oh, you're gross. You're gross. And I thought, what? I just bought this thing for you and you're eating this. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I hadn't fed her in 3 days, but I just... But isn't it true, if you're hungry, you will eat anything? And that's why the Bible says, let the Lord fill your heart and your soul. And when you are filled with the Spirit, when you have him living, vibrant, and a relationship with the Lord is on your mind, all the rest of the things don't appeal to you as much. But you're going to be in a place, in a world that draws you to eat toads if you've got a broken relationship. Yeah, and that's what sin is. We're eating toads and the Lord's saying, no. And we're just, and the Lord says, don't. I can do what I want. I hate this Christian stuff. Don't do this, don't do that. And in the spirit, that's what it looks like. The Lord is saying, no, don't do that. And when our relationship is broken, we're pulled towards the world. Because would you write down in your bullet, the enemy wants to wear you down. He wants to wear down your resistance. That's exactly what Daniel 7 verse 25 says when he speaks about the enemy of our souls. Would you read with me Daniel 7 25? Go. He will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the highest one. Would you circle the words wear down? Because you're going to be in a world where you're going to see people who were once vibrant Christians worn down, and then they'll actually defect. And now they're actually selling the wares of the enemy of our souls. I think one of the more provocative, temptress kinds of young ladies in the past that used innocence as an attempt and a temptation for immorality was Britney Spears, and the way that she would dress and the way that she would move, and like this innocent thing, and come and get me, baby, and kind of thing. And she used the innocence actually for the wrong thing. And then now recently, Jessica Simpson. And if you saw her in a trailer or the movie and Dukes of Hazzard, I just saw a trailer of it and I thought, good night, what is going through? You know why I thought that way? Because both of them were leaders in their church youth groups. And Jessica Simpson's father is a pastor. And I look at that and I think, you know, what did the devil do to get you to defect so royally? You see, he's got all kinds of flavors of temptations. Now, in each one is a big old stainless steel hook that he puts into your soul. But he'll say, how can I get this in your guts?
Oh, no, praise the Lord, I'm going to stay with the Lord.
Okay, what do you want? What can I give you to sell out your soul? How's about money? Million, two, five, ten, don't matter how much, because I got it all.
Okay, 10 million. Okay, 15 million. Okay, here it is.
You just want to paint it? What cut flavor do you want? Green? God, green.
Well, I want prestige.
Oh, okay, I got that one too. Yeah, stick that one on, yeah. Oh, notoriety. Oh, yeah, I got that one too. What color? You want really all kinds of diamond glitter on it? Yeah. See, he's got different flavors. What flavor do you want?
But on the inside, it's the same hook.
Whatever flavor you like. To sell your soul, because that's where this is going to go. And how many just like fish going after that bait, you know? And then, whoom, it yanks. And then, you can see, the devil takes greater glee in causing one of God's children to defect from their relationship with God and then sell the devil's wares than to get someone who's never known God in a relationship to sell his wares. I mean, that's nice, but this I get much more glee, the devil would say. And what he wants to do is pull you away from, just like 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, I'm afraid that as a devil deceived Eve, that you too would be led astray from the purity and simplicity of your devotion to Christ. Because the devil knows that if he can get you to fracture your relationship, oh, keep your religious trappings, but don't have a vibrant relationship with Jesus as honest and clear and good. If he can get you to just kind of cut some corners, then the Father will not work the kingdom through you. Because it requires a healthy and vibrant relationship. And then he'll push buttons, and he'll do things, and he'll go through you. But you watch, and we're all around us is a world that's just pulling us that way. And if you don't have him on your mind, you will eat anything. And that's why it's so important for us as we come here. It's not just to learn more, but actually to allow God to fill us afresh with his Spirit. So that when we walk out of here, we love Jesus so much more. And that's my goal and desire for every single one of us. Otherwise, you'll go home and you'll watch TV, and the things that used to be abnormal are now normal. Stuff that used to be like gross are now everyday. The stuff that used to be immoral, it's like everybody's doing it. Isn't that right? It used to be you see something on TV and it's like, wow, and they show just a little bit of, you know, a sex act or something. It's like, oh man, that's terrible. Close your eyes, son. Close your eyes in the movie, you know. Oh, oh. And then now it's like, yeah, see that? Yeah. Pretty cool, huh? And then after about another five or six times, you know, I'd like to do something like that. And it just gets you and pulls you that way. I was in the record store the other week, and you know, there's some CDs that have a X rating on it. You got to be a certain age to buy it because they use F words and stuff on it. And I thought, what? I mean, you put it on, these guys are effing this and that. I thought, what? No way. Sure enough, it's happening. I was going down Waikiki and I heard this stuff going on. I thought, who's swearing? It was a CD on the guy's boombox. And I thought, that does happen. And you watch rappers today. Rappers come out and they have all of these, the worst stuff. And then their hands go down and they start grabbing stuff they shouldn't be grabbing on stage. You ever notice that? They're just kind of hanging on. And I thought, what are they doing that for? I looked at that and I thought, maybe it helps them remember the words. I don't know. I looked at that and I thought, the guy's he continues to do that. Like half the song he's down there. And I thought, what? And then I realized, I got it. Fungus. He's got a fungus. But isn't that true? At first it's like, what? And then now it's like, they always do that. And what happens is the devil wants to wear you down so that that vortex of the world just kind of pulls you that way. And you think, huh, dead toads aren't that bad. They're not that, not bad tasting. And then pretty soon we find ourselves selling the enemy's wares. And we thought, what in the world happened? And you see, sometimes we're hanging on to stuff and the Lord is saying, there's something much better. You need to let those Maui Jims go. It don't matter. Because your life with me is what's most important. And Enoch and I took it right into eternity because I want to do that forever. And then I listen to the questions young people will ask me. And I know if their relationship is fractured with the Lord and it's more religious than anything else. I mean, they'll come to me and say, you know, Wayne, I mean, like, is such and such wrong? You know, is Frenching wrong? Is this wrong? And then they'll say, how far can I go with my girlfriend, like sexually? How far can we go and like not cross the line? You know, I mean, I don't want to cross the line. So I know, like, when you do it, you know, it's crossing the line. So how far can we like get near to that, not cross the line? And I look at them and I think, what? Yeah, you know, how far can we go without crossing a line? And I look back at them and I say something like this. You know, I'm married to Anna. Yeah, I know. How far can I go with my neighbor? She's got, my neighbor's friend, he's got a beautiful wife. How far can I like go sexually with her and still not cross the line with Anna? And the kid goes, what? Yeah. I mean, how far can I go with her and like go for it and still not cross the line with Anna? And the kid will go, that's strange. And I'll look at him and say, so are you. If I am even asking that question, you know something's weird with my relationship with Anna. And then this is what they'll say. Yeah, but you're married. I'm single. I said, no, you're married. If you're a Christian, you're married. No, I'm single. No, I'm married. No. I mean, the other way around. I said, you're married. No, I'm single. No, let's read 2 Corinthians 11:2. Go. I promised you as a pure bride to one husband, Christ. Yeah. If you're part of the church, you are called the bride of, yeah. You're betrothed to him. It's like a commitment. And if I move into lust or immorality and just think, I just won't cross the line, something's funny with your relationship. You see, the devil is saying, it's okay so long as you don't cross the line. So he knows that if he can fracture your relationship, the kingdom won't come through you. Because it requires a genuine relationship. Now, you can do that stuff, but I tell you, the devil's got you hogtied. Because you don't understand what's pleasing in the Father's sight. That he said to Enoch, this is it. It is so precious that I just want us to keep this forever. And boom, they were in eternity. You say, but Wayne, there's so many choices everywhere. I mean, there's like options. Yeah, there are. Well, should we just kind of get rid of all the options? No. No, it's going to require you to make a choice. In fact, would you write in your last bullet, love is not really love unless it includes our choice. Love is not love unless it includes choice. When I married Anna, it wasn't like a nuclear blast hit the world and like she was the only female living, so I had to like marry her and start the race again. No, there were many options, but I chose her. You're going to have a fight on the inside. Paul the Apostle did. Let's read what it says here. Go. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. Yeah, he says there's a war going on inside of me. But let me tell you the greatest, most powerful love in the universe. The Greeks have four words for love. English is one. The words love in Greek, three of them have to do with feeling or being prompted to love. For example, the first word is eros, where we get the word erotic from. It's the word that means a romantic love, a feeling love, an affectionate love, a love of emotion. Well, I love you because I feel like loving you. You appeal to my senses. All right, that's eros. There's another one called phileo, where we get the word Philadelphia from. It's friendship love. It's like, I love to be with my buddies because we all play basketball together. We have a similar affinity. So like, I love being with my friends. Well, that's good. You're impelled that way because of you like a certain thing together. The third love is a love called storge. It's a love that a mother has for a child, a father has for a child. And it's my kid, you know, it's from me, it's my kid. So that's great. Nothing wrong with that. But there's one love that is not a love of feeling, it's a love of choice. And that's the love that God has for humankind. And that is a love of choice. It's called agape. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why did his son come to be sacrificed? Because God had no other choice? No, he had tons of choices. But he chose to love us. He chose to put his love onto us. And the Bible says when you learn to make choices according to God's way, you are now developing the strongest, most powerful love in the universe. And the reason why the devil doesn't want you to develop that kind of love, just go with the feelings, do what your heart says kind of thing. Because he knows that when you start developing a love of choice, that's the kind of love that destroyed him on Calvary and changed the world. It was a love of choice, not a feeling. And so sometimes you're going to have to make a choice 50 times in a day to put your mind back on the Lord. I go home to be with my wife sometimes. Why? Because I feel like it. Sometimes I do, but sometimes I don't. Things aren't going that well, but I make a choice. And God says, that's good. Because you are developing. You see, that agape love is developed, nurtured, nourished, built. It's not just found or given. It's developed, it's built, it's nourished, it's nurtured. And when I make those choices for the King, because I know of his love for me and what he's done for me, I want that to happen here. I choose to do the same. Why? Because I have to. Nope. Let me finish with a story that I've told long ago about a friend of mine. His name is Gene over in Hilo, and he was an elder in the church. And every Tuesday he would buy me lunch. And so I was a young pastor, poor, you know, and so I would go and have lunch with him. And he'd pay the bill. I was really happy. I was pleased. So I let him do it because it was his ministry. Like 70, 80 times, I just let him just pay for my lunch. But, you know, after a while, like a year or so, I was thinking, you know, I got to reciprocate. I need to pay. So I said, Gene, let me pay for lunch next week. He said, oh, no, I'm going to pay. I said, you've been paying for like 2 years. He said, it's all right. This is my ministry. I want to do that. I said, come on, let me pay next week. Nope. So I'm sitting at home thinking, man, I got to start paying for something like this. I got to do this. How am I going to do this? So I get to the restaurant the next week a little early, and I go to the waitress, and I said, today, please bring me the bill. Okay, can you do that? She said, you know, Gene said you might say that, so I can't do this. I said, what? She said, yeah. So I sat down. I said, Gene, come on, man. You've been paying. Let me. I really want to pay. I mean, I got paid, and I got some bucks, and got a little raise. I want to pay. He said, no, doesn't matter how much you have. I'm going to pay. I said, No way. So next week I came in early. I took my credit card out and I said to the waitress, take my credit card, run it before we actually eat. She said, Gene said you might do that. So here's his card. She takes out of it. So I slide into the booth and I said, Gene, come on, man, let me pay. He said, no. I said, no, 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 I want to pay. He said, no, no, I want to pay. No, I said, you know what? I'm starting to dream about paying for lunch. He said, no, I'm going to pay. I said, Gene, please, I want to, I yearn to, I desire to, I must pay for lunch. He said, no, I'm going to pay. Oh, no way, my heart is hurting to pay for lunch. And you know, I thought after a while, you know what? That's just like the Bible. My heart at first was like, woohoo, pay for me. And then now it's like, no, I want to be a part of this. Because see, 1 John says this, we love because he first loved us. We are compelled to love because our relationship with him is to a point where I know how much he loves me. And what happens after a while, his love doesn't just come to me, it changes my heart. And now because of my relationship, it comes what? Through me. I want to forgive because I have to, no other option. No, no, because I know how much he's forgiven me. And the least I can do is let it run through me. I want to love. Why? Because it's a Christian thing. I want to give. Why? Because they say you're supposed to give in church? No. Because I know how much he's laid down his life and has given to me. How many times has he paid for my lunch? The least I can do is give an offering. And by the way, I want to encourage you to do that. Because that's one little way of his kingdom coming through us. Our program, our television program, the radio program is in the mainland. It's being shown in Philippines, in Japan, in India. We get letters from people in Asia saying that their lives are being touched and changed. And the gospel is free, but the means by which it is extended costs. And so as we give, it's not because, well, that's a Christian thing. No, no. We give because we're saying, Lord, run a little bit of the kingdom through us to those we may never meet until we see in heaven one day. And when you understand relationship, you give because you have to. No, because he's given so much for me. I want to love because he loves. I want to give grace because he's given grace to me. I want to lay down my life and serve. Why? Because New Hope is recruiting more servants? No. He's laid down his life for me and served me so many times. Man, the least I can do is this. Well, what's happening? Well, because of my relationship with him, not religious, just because of genuine, vibrant relationship, I know what he's done for me. I am now compelled to do the same. And then the Lord says, that's it. That's what Enoch had. That's what it's all about. If you removed everything else, that's the life of the church, my bride, so that I'll run the kingdom through her to a needy world. And when you understand that, you begin to understand why these men and women were in Hebrews 11 and God called it a hall of faith. It's not that ethereal, not that out there. It is very practical and real, and the Lord wants that for each of us. Will you say yes to that? Let's say yes. Amen. Amen. Let's stand.
Thanks for listening. If you were touched by this message, there are many more great resources available to you. Click onto our website at enewhope.org. From our New Hope family to you, aloha.